Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Snow Sunday. We would just want to welcome everybody to MCC as we begin our Christmas season. Yeah. And hold on a second. I forgot something this morning. Hold on a second. Ah, here, yeah, here it is. Yeah, yeah, here we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, wait, oh, no, yeah. Oh, I know you're all wondering what's going on out here. Hold that door for me, would you? Why is that not clear? Now, it's Christmas season around here. It just didn't feel right, you know? I had to get it. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, even better. There we go. Oh. Deck the halls. Here we go. Woo, yeah. Now we're decking the halls. Now it feels like the first Sunday of Christmas. Well, almost feels like the first Sunday of Christmas. Here we go. This is gonna do everything else for it. There we go. Yeah. Now it's the first Sunday of Christmas. Yeah. But you know what? I got something that's going to make it all the better. It's going to make it the best. Here we go. This is going to make everything. Now it's going to be Christmas around here. Yeah, the real reason for the season. Yeah, now, for the first time this year, I can say, Merry Christmas. Oh my gosh, I'm wore out. I'm telling you. After spending the last 3 days getting the Dyson outdoor illumination done, I'm tired. It's going to look good in the snow, though, so pretty excited about that. But if you're here as a guest, we are so glad you're here. We're crazy. At least I am, anyway. And we do love Christmas, but for that reason and that reason alone, we love Christmas first. And we're glad that you joined us today. In 2008, though, Faith Hill released a song on her album Joy to the World called A Baby Changes Everything. At Christmas, churches all over the world celebrate the birth of a baby. There is the moment, and you know what? The moment after the birth of that baby is when the entire world did change. It happened then. 9 months have come, okay? 9 months have come and gone. The worry, the wonder, the angels explaining things to Mary and Joseph, visiting with family and everything else and trying to get them to understand. But the previously, everything that's going on, the unknown is awakened in the hearts of a mom, a dad, their family, some shepherds, and many, many others. Then, think about this. Magnify the joy of that night with the joy that billions of humans throughout history have seen on that night. And throughout the days because of that night. And then you begin to really understand and really know that a baby did change everything. That baby, Jesus, changed everything forever. Since the beginning of creation, whether humans acknowledged it or whether they didn't, there has been a longing for Jesus. They need Jesus. And waiting for his birth that first night, and then afterwards, the redemption that follows. People have been waiting on that for a long, long time. This is why, on that amazing, incredible night, over 2,000 years ago, the angels erupted in song. Could you imagine what that was like? A bright star shone down that night. And that single night, that night, in that little town of Bethlehem, a baby changed everything. The shepherds marveled, the wise men traveled, and then God, we're going to talk about this later in the series, but God came down for a visit. Isaiah 9:6 reminds us that, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and say these names with me, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Yes! That scene, that event at the manger is incredible. But I believe the world, well, let me say it this way. But I believe we would all agree that today, more than 2,000 years later, the world feels at the very least, thank you, Mike, as weary and broken as it did that first Christmas. Do you guys believe that? As weary and broken as it was that world with Herod and everything around it and all the empires. It feels as broken today as it did then. And here in America, we do our best to cover up at Christmas, don't we? We schedule elaborate celebrations with music, laughter, decorated trees, presents, friends and family gathered around. We throw office parties, you know, you don't get along all year long, but for one night you have a big old office party. However, despite our best efforts, we can't mask the pain of loneliness, the hurt of brokenness, or begin to satisfy the need for worship that is built into every single human being. It's built in there. God built us that way. So with a desire to find something bigger or a yearning to find meaning in their lives, even those who don't know Christ go to church on Christmas Eve. That's why we make such a big deal of Christmas Eve. It may be the one chance that that particular year to touch someone, because that's the one chance that they decided to come to church. Because of this fact, I now implore every one of you who is a Christ follower in here today to do everything possible every Christmas season, but especially this Christmas, 2023, to share Jesus with others. Yes, it's true. Our world looks messy and feels broken, but our God has already provided the answer, Jesus. And one day, maybe even this week, praise God, he will come again and restore all things. Until that day comes, though, we followers must make sure that Christ child is our top priority all year long. And especially at Christmas, we must keep the birth of our Savior at the center of all our celebrations. So today, as we kick off the Christmas series, Reclaim Christmas, we will be talking about the hope, the hope. Now, years ago, on an S-4 submarine, it was rammed by a ship off the coast of Massachusetts. And it sank immediately. It went down. The entire crew was trapped, was in prison in this house of death under the ocean floor, or under the ocean waters, I mean. Every effort was made to rescue the crew. They tried everything, but it ultimately failed. Near the very end of the ordeal, a deep sea diver who was doing everything in his power, just trying to find a way to get the crew released, to get them out of there, thought he heard tapping on this wall of the sunken sub. So he placed his helmet up against the side of the vessel, and he realized it was Morse code. He attached himself tightly to the side, and he spelled out what they were saying in his mind. The message being tapped from within. It was repeating the exact same question over and over again. The question was, from within, is there any hope? Over and over again. I'm here to tell you today, I say yes, there is hope. And we're going to answer six questions about hope this morning, and I believe they will help us all reclaim the hope of Christmas, not just for the season, but for every single day of our lives. Here we go. You ready? Question number one, what is hope? Well, the dictionary defines hope as grounds for believing that something good may happen, a feeling of expectation and a desire for certain things to happen. Well, you see, here in America, we often confuse hope for wishful thinking, right? For wishful thinking. For instance, my son got his license a couple weeks ago. That night, he said, I want to go for a drive. And I said, son, that's wishful thinking. I said that, didn't I? But wishful thinking is just that. It's wishful dreaming, and it's empty. It has no substance because it has no objective foundation. Noah had no foundation for thinking just because he had a little piece of plastic from the state of Illinois that he was going to get to drive by himself that night. He thought he was, but he didn't have no foundation for that. And Tiana even said, they didn't let me either, Noah. So he had no foundation, but it was his wishful thinking. The hope that Christmas gives is far greater than subjective wishful thinking. It's greater than what America says is hope. Christmas hope, biblical hope, is the confidence that good things are coming in the future. Unlike the world's definition, the Bible bases its hope in God, right? His promises, his saving acts, it's the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. More specifically, hope is confidence that that what God has done for us in the past guarantees our participation in what God will do in the future if we just wait patiently. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." We got to trust him. We got to wait. That's the hope we need to reclaim this Christmas and for every day after and every day till. To take back from the world. We got to get it back. We got to get the word hope and what it really means back from the world. And I want to give you a way to help remember what Christmas hope truly means with this acronym for hope, right? It means holding on with patient expectation. Holding on to God's plan with patient expectation. That's hope. Now, have you or someone else close to you ever gone through a time of feeling hopeless? If yes, you know just how absolutely overwhelming and even debilitating it can be when that happens. And if you don't have faith in our loving Heavenly Father to turn to, that you can get strength from and get reassurance from, then you have nothing to hang on to, and that can feel unbelievably terrifying. Because ultimately, without God, there's no way to make sense of this world we live in. Amen? It's messy, it's broken, and it seems, if you watch any kind of news or get on the social media, it seems to be getting worse every day. Think about it. We have shootings too often than we should. There's war going on in a couple different places. People are dying, civilians are dying, people are being captured. Anger is everywhere. Hurt is everywhere. And we haven't even got to the election yet. Yeah, there's war going on there too. People getting hurt there too. It is crazy what's going on in this world. But with every crazy thing happening around us, that just shows me that the hope, the real hope, is needed. But the question is, it's the second question, who needs hope? Simple answer. The world needs hope. Every person needs hope, needs the hope of Christmas. The hope of Jesus, his good news, is better than anything this world can offer. It's better than the cure for cancer or any other types of sicknesses. When you have the hope of Jesus, you have eternal life. Your past is forgiven, and now the true reason for living a home for all eternity. Now that is something every single person needs. Russell Davis was a 10-year-old boy who knew what hope was. He understood hope. And he knew that hope went beyond this life. You see, Russell had fought cancer for 4 years, so he was 6 years old when he got it. And he wrote this note to his best friend. "Dear Brian, how are you doing? I'm all right, in the hospital, but a little sleepy. I know that you're worried about me. At least some, anyway. But don't worry too much. Also, if it will help, and maybe this will help you feel better, you can come see me if you have the time. When I die, if I do soon, don't worry, because I'll be somewhere special in heaven. And sooner than I know it, you'll be up in heaven with me, because 1,000 years here on earth is like a minute in heaven. I know you'll miss me when I'm gone, but just accept it like you did with your uncle. My mom will give you something of mine so you can remember me always. So don't worry too much. Love, Russell." 3 days later, Russell asked for a sip of water and said, "I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad." And he went home to be with the Lord. Russell needed hope. And he found it in him. But he also knew everyone else around him needed it too. Hope is an incredible thing. Scripture tells us that hope that goes unfulfilled or is deferred, we push off, makes us feel bad. But when hope is fulfilled, it gives life. So, why do we need hope? We need hope because it restores our relationship with God. It is life-giving, and it is what all Christians can hold on to. It's what we can grab onto as we deal with everything going on here on earth. Think about it. God didn't promise everything we want, right? No easy life, no comfortable life, not all the money we could ever hope for, not all the possessions we could ever want. But what he did promise, his presence, the presence of the Almighty God, his strength, God's strength, his care and comfort as he watches over us are all things he promised. You can go to Thessalonians 2 and find that. Second Thessalonians 2. We trust him to fulfill all this. This is what we're supposed to do. That's hope, holding on to that. That's where we confidently place it. This is why Christians, all of us, should be hopeful people. We have the most to look forward to. If you don't know God, what are you looking forward to? A big present under the tree? Whoop-de-freaking-do! You can't take it with you. It's not what's promised. What's promised is an eternity with the Almighty, all-loving God, his Son. And while we're here, you're not alone. His presence is with you. If you've accepted Christ, you've repented, baptized, and you're following Christ, what do you get? What do you receive when you accept him and do everything you're supposed to do? Like say, Jesus, I love you. I'm going to follow you in a baptism. What do you receive? Holy Spirit, which is God. That is awesome. Why do we need hope? That's why. God's hope can give us power to endure hardships. The world's hope, its wishing and dreaming, has no such power. On this roller coaster we call life, there are no guarantees to hopeful circumstances. However, we Christians, man, we can remain hopeful no matter what life throws at us. It's going to be hard. It's going to be rough. It's even going to hurt at times. But we can still be hopeful because our life and our future is in his hands. No one else's, his. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being removed every day, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look on troubles we can't see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be what? Gone. But the things we cannot see, those, heaven, eternity, will last forever. And one day, this is not part of Scripture, but understand what it says. One day, we will see that. But you got to hold on to hope. During this Christmas season, there are people who struggle with despair. Sadness reflects in many people's eyes because there's loss. There's grief, there's anger, loneliness, and there's fear that hides beneath the surface in people's hearts and minds. They're scared. The superficial happiness of colorful lights, ornaments, and presents only magnifies the depression in some people because they're just dealing with so much. When we look for hope in the wrong places, we get discouraged, we get disillusioned. We become overwhelmed with the stress of everything. Hope becomes just a word in a sentimental song. And then you lose the hope as the season goes. And if they don't have hope, how do they even bear it? Sometimes they even struggle with going on. How can they? They need the hope. And even if things are good in our own lives, right? Things are going good sometimes. We have those moments. It's sometimes scary, though, to see the wreckage that's happening around us and thinking, well, that could happen to me. Covering our eyes and hearts to the pain and lives of other people, it may help you and I feel safe for a while, but eventually some heartbreaking thing will happen. It will break through our walls, and it can push us and make us struggle with holding on to that hope. We can even lose hope if it's that bad. But don't grab onto it. Don't lose hope. It's how you will be able to go on. If you want to get through it, grab onto it tighter. Get into the Word of God. Spend time with Him. Hold on to that hope if you want to get through those hardships. There's no way we'll get through any of that without a degree of peace in our hearts. But we're meant to if we just hold on to the hope He's given us. But here's the good news. We haven't been left to struggle alone. We mentioned it once, I mentioned it again. And we don't have to figure it all out to try to make our days here on earth seem meaningful. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to do it. Our lives have meaning and purpose because they are part of His big plan. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than anything that's going on around us. But the awesome thing is, this awesome, amazing plan of God's includes us. We're a part of His plan. So the next question about hope is, where do we find this hope? Can we even find hope in this world? Should we be able to find hope? Should we be able to find hope in this world? Well, we're going to see this, that Christmas reminds us that genuine hope is only found in the reality of the promises of God. That's the only place we can find it. We can find that hope in our Bibles. Romans 15:4 tells us that it is the only place where we can find the true hope, right? Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago, it tells us, to teach us. And the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. It's in your Bibles. If you need one today, take one from the pew. Come to my office. We got them. Cat's, actually, not in my office anymore. I put them in Cat's office. Go to Cat's office and find them. They're in her room. If you need a Bible. Because that is where hope's found. And I want you to leave today with hope in your hands if you don't have it already. The reason many in this world don't have hope is because it's filled with selfishness and people are tearing each other down in this world. You see it every day. Instead of building each other up. Why? Because they don't know the one who is the source of true hope. They don't know God. When we take time to open the Word of God, we see that what relationships should look like and how we can all live in harmony with one another, how we're to treat one another. We see that in the Bible, we see that the true cause of hopelessness is sin. And we find the true cure in Jesus. The New Testament writer spoke of Christ as the object and foundation of hope for two main reasons. First, He is the Messiah who brought salvation by His life, death, and resurrection. Second, because God's promises are fulfilled in Him. So hope is found in God and through His Son, Jesus Christ, who brought hope with Him that first Christmas. So the next logical question is, how do we get hope? This is an answer all Christians should be able to answer by heart. And it is found in arguably the most visible Bible verse in history, John 3:16. Read it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have, say it again, like you mean it. Yes, the hope. We all need to believe in Jesus as our Savior, repent of sins, be baptized, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will help us hold on to the only true hope, Jesus, the Son of God. Remember Paul's prayer in Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So our final question about Christmas hope, when should we have hope? Okay, I'm done. Laura just said it. It's right now. She's absolutely right. From the moment we become Christ followers, we should be living in the hope. We should let go of it. We should never forget it or set it aside for what the world offers as hope. We don't do that. We hold on to His hope, that hope, the Christmas hope. It is something we should have our hearts on every single day of our lives, not just at Christmas. Followers of Jesus have a living hope because we have a heavenly inheritance. Unlike the things people place their hope in on earth, our heavenly hope can never perish. Many things we hope for, material stuff, an easy life, even good health, doesn't really matter compared to His inheritance, to what we get in the end. We don't have it yet, but if we've accepted Christ, we believe in him, we're following, we know it. We know it's ours to have. We know that it's coming, that we will get to it. What God has promised and accomplished through Jesus Christ is not just, wait, it's just not wishful thinking. It's not. We must hold on to it. We must await it with eager confidence. Must await it. It's coming. Hebrews chapter 6, 18 and 19. So God has given both his promise and his oath, two things which he can't break and will not break. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain, that's this world we're living in here, but into God's presence, into his inner sanctuary. We get to be close to him. We can spend moments with him and not be stuck with what's going on around us. We are assured of God's hope, and we can hold on to his hope every single day of our lives. We should live in the present with confidence and face the future with courage. We can meet all the trials we're going to go through triumphantly because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. That's Romans chapter 5. Christian hope is a gift from God. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and reliable. We must count on God's hope. Now, the world doesn't have to be all about what the world, this Christmas, any Christmas, but specifically this Christmas, doesn't have to be about what the world says Christmas is about. It doesn't have to be about our pleasure or our desires. Instead, we need to trust that God will reteach us the truth that Christmas is all about the Christ child. And that this life is not about us. We're not living it for us, but it's about Jesus. And it's about reaching other people with the gospel, serving other people, giving them or helping them get to their needs, what they need. And of course, what they ultimately need is him. This Christmas should be a time of reclaiming hope, renewing hope, but not hope in a particular political ideology, not hope in material things, not wishful thinking. It should be about Christmas hope, Christian hope, hope in Jesus Christ, hope that despite our world's mess, God will bring order out of chaos. Reclaiming the hope is about not only reclaiming Jesus, that's part of it, we've got to hold on to him. And if you haven't been lately, grab back on to Jesus. Get back in there with him. But reclaiming, it's also about reclaiming who we really are in Jesus. And that means what we do now and how we invest our time this season. How do we live it? How do we live out the hope? Rather than living as this hope is this spiritual, far-off, weird, mystical thing that's out there. And of course, if we think like that, that may not happen. That's not what we're talking about here. Our hope should become a joyful expectation that God is faithful, that God does deliver, and that God loves us. And by the way, it should also remind us that God is going to do something great in our lives when we commit and live for him. Real hope came that first Christmas, and it's alive and well today. MCC, we need to reclaim the real hope this Christmas. But not just for the season. It needs to be for every single day that comes our way. And it's not just for our families. We don't just reclaim it for our families. That's part of it. It's not just for this church. And that's part of it. And it's not just for Muhammad. But it's also for ourselves. How are we going to make it through all this junk if we don't have his hope? That today's takeaway is just, it's not just for Christmas. It's also for those searching, those wondering, is Jesus real? And those seeking real, unending hope, hold on to this takeaway. This Christmas, grab a hold of hope. Grab a hold of Jesus. And never, never, I know I only put it up there once, but many times you need to put it in there. Never let go of Him. Friends, Christmas is more about things than lighting candles and putting lights up and getting together with family and friends and having presents and parties and celebrations. There's no reason not to celebrate. Do not get me wrong. Just make sure the source of hope, the real reason for the season, is a part of that celebration. Christmas is about the fact that eternal life is possible, that everyone is invited, and that no door is ever closed. It's a reminder that however bad life seems to be, there is always something you can do. You can have faith and believe, because on that first Christmas, God loved us so much that He came to be with us in the flesh, to love us, to teach us, to die for us, and to fill our lives with hope. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let's pray.